Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, as we record this, it's Holy Week, but when our listeners hear it, it'll be Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, so we certainly, our first words must be of Happy Easter of the Resurrection to all of those listening to us. And it really is kind of strange to say that and then know that in front of us is the Triduum, that is to say Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, and then obviously Easter Sunday of the Resurrection. Everyone knows what this liturgical season is. You know what events are going to take place. What's going to change will be the context of homilies and addresses and words at the Way of the Cross at the Colosseum. And so forth. The events, of course, are eternal.
They've already put up the olive trees in St. Peter's Square, and we know that for Easter Sunday it'll be a mass of flowers. It'll be another gift from the people
from
of the Netherlands.
Dutch. Right, exactly. And tens of thousands of bulbs. I mean,
it's exquisite.
They always have these statistics every year, and it's really quite an amazing setup. But the one mass on which we're going to talk about today, of course, was the Mass on Monday evening at 5:30 that Pope Benedict celebrated on the second anniversary, because Monday was the April 2nd, on the second anniversary of the death of his predecessor. And so that was a very beautiful Mass.
With this being Holy Week, there are so many thousands of extra visitors.
Sure, but it was absolutely enormous. It just kept circling. I don't even want to guess how many people were in or how long it would have taken to get in the Basilica if you had gotten at the end of the line, whatever time I was passing by, which was probably 10
or 9:30. In actual fact, they're fairly efficient once people start moving. So it doesn't take as long as you'd expect it to take, looking at the length of the queue.
And you don't know that when you step into line. All you see is
length,
or like going to the Vatican Museums. You just see length and you go, oh, my word, am I going to make it today? You know.
And the best times for getting in without the queue are either to go early in the morning
or about 5 or 5:30 or something in the afternoon. For St. Peter's, right?
Yes. Yeah. But also to go about 1 o'clock. When most people have gone for lunch,
true,
you can get in more or less straight away.
And that's also true, as someone was telling me, for the Vatican Museums, that 12:30 is really about the, you know, best time to go. You know, and speaking of numbers, to go back to two events of recent days, obviously one was Palm Sunday, which was also the 22nd World Youth Day. That is celebrated on a diocesan level throughout the Universal Church. And then the international celebration, the next one, will take place in Sydney. In 2008, a lot of the Sydney people were in town this week. They are doing a fabulous job. If there are young people or families out there who are listening and you're considering should we or should we not take our vacation and use time and go to Youth Day in Sydney, I highly, highly urge you, based on talking with Bishop Fisher, Auxiliary of Sydney, and then with some of the organizers. But it was a very beautiful day in Rome, where the Pope hosted the Youth Day in St. Peter's Square, and he invited the young people to search for the face of God in their lives and to follow Christ with innocent hands and pure hearts. And it was a very wonderful message, and he said, innocent hands are those not used for acts of violence, hands that are not sullied by corruption and bribes. And he said, hearts are pure when they're not stained by lies and hypocrisy, and when they are estranged from the intoxication of pleasure. So it was. I'm just obviously giving, 20 words out of a very moving, wonderful speech, homily. And the next day, we said, of course, was April 2nd, and the Pope once again said Mass, and this time for an awful lot of young people, an awful lot of Polish people, just people who were great admirers of his predecessor, as the Pope himself was. And Benedict made that very clear in an extremely beautiful homily. And this came on the day, which was not only the day of the second anniversary of John Paul's death in 2005, but also the day on which the process, the diocesan process for his cause for canonization was, that ended in Rome, that phase. And now all the documents, we saw them sealed literally at a ceremony in St. John Lateran. All those documents have been brought to the Vatican. And the Congregation for the Causes of Saints will start its procedure. And interestingly enough, one of the guests in town for the events relative to John Paul, and I'm just going to guess maybe she's even staying for Easter, is Sister Marie Simon-Pierre, the French nun, 46 years old, who actually looks an awful lot younger. I saw her the other night at the Mass, and she went right by me just to get to her seat. But she had a very, very severe case of Parkinson's, which John Paul, of course, suffered and died from. And her case began to get worse and worse and worse on April 2nd, 2005. And she's a nun who works with a nursing order of nuns in Paris. She works at a maternity hospital. Only this week was her name made public. It was known that there was a nun in France cured of Parkinson's. She said it was due to the intercession. She and her order prayed to John Paul. It's a very, very amazing story. The nun herself does not call it a miracle. She says that has to be up to the church to do it, to say it is a miracle. Because also, a lot of people forget, a miracle, she could have been cured, but it has to be lasting.
So, oh, yes. And the process for declaring something as a miracle is a lengthy process.
It is.
With a lot of investigations.
A lot of investigation and a lot of people coming. Doctors have to look at things and they have to say, yes, on Monday she was the sickest human being we ever knew. Tuesday morning she was no longer ill, gave no more signs of Parkinson's. But
and
many diseases
no
have.
Normal explanation.
Exactly. There is no earthly human normal explanation for a what we term as a miracle. And sometimes we throw that word around. We say, oh my gosh, that was a miracle. It was a miracle I made my train or something like that. And we have to be perhaps a little more careful. But anyway, it's a very wonderful story about the nun. We don't know how much time the Vatican's going to need to look at all the documentation. But
a long time, I would imagine.
With John Paul. And you know, if they're looking at his writings, obviously, if anything had gone, if he had written something that was not theologically correct, I think that John Paul would have been found out many years ago. So I don't think it's a question of investigating his writings right now, anything he wrote or said or preached or whatever. I don't think it's a question of looking at it now and finding something erroneous that would have come up.
I'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It would have come up years ago. But one interesting development, because I was asked this quite a number of times, there were certain people who were intimating that on April 2nd, the announcement would be made of the date of John Paul's beatification. And that couldn't be done because the Vatican process had not even begun yet. Now, I understand that Pope Benedict can waive the for canonization and beatification, each of which requires a miracle. I understand that Pope Benedict could waive the second miracle for canonization and go directly to canonization for John Paul, not making him even a blessed, but going directly to canonization. I've also learned that apparently the Holy Father could say that the Vatican process could be skipped or very, very, very streamlined. Now, I think that that would not be done. I think that Benedict...
I think it would be extremely unlikely.
Well, it's unheard of up to this point.
Yes.
And I think it's so unlikely you could, you know, safely bet a huge sum of money and not lose it, because it's just a procedure that I believe Benedict, and I think all of us really, we want to see this procedure brought to its normal conclusion.
It's best to be safe than sorry.
You don't want doubts in anyone's mind that there was such a hurry to make a man we know and love, and I think we all feel was a saint. You don't want a doubt in anyone's mind that you jumped over some stage in the procedure to get to this point where you call him a saint, and then there's doubts in anybody's mind later. Mm-hmm. So we will obviously be watching that very closely in coming, I can't say days, but certainly weeks and months. And when it's wrapped up, it will be wrapped up. And we will have other ceremonies in St. Peter's Square, mm-hmm. as we did this week, to commemorate the late pontiff. Mm.
And on this note, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to all of our listeners indeed.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.